Off the Ball Rugby.
And then with the players, they're just so supportive, and you know, they're, you see it, like they play with their heart in their sleeve, and that's all you want from them, to do or die out there, and that's what they do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along. It is Who You Got on this Easter weekend, which is a long weekend, which includes Spurs against Nottingham Forest on Monday. Will Ange Postecoglou still be the Spurs boss when that one comes around? Will Onana be playing for Manchester United this weekend? And can Liverpool move within 3 points of being crowned Premier League champions again? They will move a lot closer if they beat a Leicester team who are destined for the championship, and it could set it up to potentially clinch the title against Spurs next week. It's been a lot of movement at the top of the table as well. I'm delighted to say we've got Cathy McNamee here, the winner of our Euros predictions from last year.
Thank you. I totally wasn't bragging about that before we came
on
here.
No. Still looking.
And I also don't want to see this table either, because it will take away any bragging rights I have.
I don't either. The match week is ugly, but it's not ugly for John Duggan, who topped the table this week. John, how are you?
Will and Kathleen, how are you doing?
Good. Not as well as you did. Let's have a look at how things went last weekend, because John Duggan pulled a couple of big results out of the fire on Saturday to kick off a perfect weekend for him, really. Two correct scores, 4 picks correct across the weekend. John, that gave you 8 points. Huge weekend.
Well, writing off Rory McIlroy after round one is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to my career. So for that to happen, Who You Got was a very small consolation. But look, you'll take it. We'll take it.
I think getting that wrong, right? And so people are obviously going to, you know, shove it down your throat when he wins on a Sunday. If that's the worst thing that's happened in your career is going to be okay. I assure you. An awful lot worse has happened. A lot worse has happened to some members of this OTB team during the week with things they've said on air. And you'd be fine. Kathleen, your week was not good.
No, like I had a terrible...
one-pointer.
Terrible week. Although, because I did kind of yarrow away the Arsenal result in the hopes that last night would happen. And it did. So I'm actually perfectly happy.
You can't yarrow on this competition. Like, you had no impact on what happened at the Bernabeu.
Yeah. You don't know that well. I was sending them such good energy. I was manifesting. I was doing everything. I came into work yesterday with the vintage Arsenal jersey. I mean, what more can an Arsenal fan do?
Yeah, you've got... Essentially, that's the jersey from when they clinched the league at Anfield. That kind of territory.
It's
as a classic kit.
Old school.
You're an Arsenal fan.
Never mentioned it. It's never come up.
I don't know if John's actually being shocked or.
I'm shocked. I didn't know
you're
an Arsenal fan now.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Our relationship
has
now changed, obviously, forever.
I can't. We have definitely had this conversation before.
You haven't.
And I have teased you about Spurs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the North London Derby of Who You Got for this week. I will ask you about Arsenal before we get into how the season table looks, because I don't want to look at it. So as I cope with that. What a couple of games for Arsenal. I know Real Madrid weren't great last night, but Arsenal did the business very nicely. I was watching it here with Owen Doyle, and he was very impressed with how Arsenal defended across the two legs.
I was really impressed as well. I mean, after that, Saka missed penalty at the start, and then Real Madrid, I thought that was going to be the moment, the magic that they needed in terms of their mentality to switch into Real Madrid, European champions, this is what we do mode. But what I really enjoyed about watching it last night was it's like one of the first times I've seen Arsenal actually be tactical about how they defend. You know, I'm not a proponent of people like going down unnecessarily or whatever it is, but they were actually like properly slowing the play. They were frustrating Real Madrid. They were annoying them. They were getting in their heads, getting in their faces. And that's not really something that I would count as an Arsenal trait all that often.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a switch. Now, will they be able to do it in the next round against PSG? I have no idea, because it's the most inconsistent team in the world. But I think it shows what this Arsenal team is capable of. It's just how consistently can they do it. You know, if we had seen that side of Arsenal, and again, I take your point, Real Madrid were not great over the two legs either. But like, even a not great Real Madrid team is still a pretty good team. If Arsenal were able to do that over the course of a season, I think they could do great things. It's just really frustrating that we only see this come out every once in a blue moon.
Yeah, physical wide open Champions League now, the way the semi-finals are sitting. So you got PSG against Arsenal, Inter against Barcelona, so the Serie A leaders against the Liga leaders on the other side. The good news, John, as well, you've Owen Doyle back with you over the next few Saturdays. He has joined you in hating VAR. He said to me last
well,
night, after those two decisions, he said, VAR, put it in the bin. He says the one thing he likes about the League of Ireland now is no VAR. And he said last night, completely convinced him, the two penalty I guess, claims. One was given, one wasn't. But the 5 minutes for the one that was eventually overturned, he said this
that was
this
wild.
A joke.
Why was that needed?
I always thought VAR was better in Europe as well. I think it's unobtrusive. You're not getting the Premier League looking to the screen and all this kind of thing. But then the delay kicked in last night, and I go, oh, this is the you know, this is now being infected by the Premier League's longevity when it comes to making decisions. So look, yeah, it's an unfortunate thing about VAR is it's here to stay. It's just how can we make it better? To be fair, the semi-automated offside is better in the Premier League, and that has speeded things up a little bit. We saw that last weekend coming in. So we just have to get over my moaning.
No, I think it's perfectly fair to moan. Right, let's moan about how the table looks, because I'm not happy about this, I must admit. Here is how the table looks now. Look at our new leader, Shane Hannan, Mr. Consistent over the last couple of weeks, has gone to the top of the table, but just by a single point. And you've got, basically, from the Champions League places up to Shane Hannan now at this stage, just a couple of points separate. John, your big week has closed. You're
it's getting close, Will.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an inside straight, like a horse race in the final furlong. Might just sneak up, but this weekend, it actually means we're thinking a bit more. Maybe we're not spending half an hour, spending maybe an hour now thinking about what we're going to do. Because competitiveness kicks in. You say it doesn't matter, but then you realize it actually does. And then you get bitter if you don't win. And then you start throwing messages into the group that are obscure when you, that was a lovely shock result for me. and that's disappointing. Hard luck for the 90th minute went against you. And it's just going to get a bit tense now and a bit antsy, I think, over the next few weeks.
You know, one thing about who you got when it gets to this stage, and if you are up the top, I came third last year, is that you start wishing for games that, as a fan, you don't want to see the result, but you're like, I've put that in for who you got, so I want to see that result now.
I've become the Newcastle of the 96-97 season. Was going well, now wobbling. I'm going to make some big talk, and it's not going to amount to anything.
I would love it
if Shane Hannan had a bad week this week and get back to top. But Mick is now within touching distance, so is John. And even you've got players on 73 who are only 5 back. That's just a good week away from going to the top of the table as well. So our first game this week that we're looking at is in the race for the Champions League places. Newcastle last night going up to third place. This is a difficult period they have for them at the moment because they've got quite a few games, but a 5-0 win against Crystal Palace. Palace conceding 10 goals in a couple of games. Let's have a look at our predictions for this one, because this is going to feed into our charity bet as well. We got Villa Newcastle. Here we go. Okay, there's still a few backers for Villa here, despite them being knocked out in the Champions League during the week. Kathleen, what way are you thinking here for this game?
I went for a 2-2 draw. I think that I don't know if Villa being knocked out during the week is necessarily going to have as massive an impact as we thought it would maybe last week.
Especially when they went out in such a positive way.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're going to go into this weekend with a little bit more pride than they would have the weekend before, because obviously PSG dominated that match pretty much. It was one of those ones when I was picking it and I didn't know what the difference maker was going to be between the two of them. So that's why I went for the draw. I think there will be a lot of goals. I've gone for 4 goals in total, which means it's obviously going to be a nil-all draw. but I do think that Villa are going to go into this game positive. I think they're going to have had that European experience, want to build on it for next season as well. I think should be a good game. I hope for a good game.
Okay. John, this, I think, is actually a difficult game to call, but I would respect, and this is the way that I've kind of looked at this match, I'd respect what Newcastle have done over the last while. Again, I've gone for a draw, because I think the Villa might be able to dig in, so I've gone for 1-1. You've gone for a Newcastle away win, though. Is that respecting the form we've seen from them?
Yes, it's that they're hotter at the moment for me. They've won 6 in a row in all competitions. I think the catharsis of winning a first domestic trophy in 70 years is a big thing. Alexander Isak's now in 21 goals for the Premier League season. Their midfield is excellent. Villa just have to react to the emotional pitch of throwing everything at PSG and just falling short during the week. They did concede 5 goals over 2 games. They were a little bit, I suppose, vulnerable on the break to PSG in the first half of the match through the night. And although they're unbeaten in, 5 Premier League games, they have thrown in some dud results against Wolves and Crystal Palace. Just feel that Newcastle are hotter at the moment. And as they're doing it for Eddie Howe, obviously third in the table, I think their hot streak can continue.
Yeah, I don't think they drop outside the top 5. So just for the benefit of the radio listeners, I'll give you the predictions across the board here. If you're on YouTube, you would have seen them on the graphic. But column A 2-0 win for Newcastle. Emma is the proxy for Owen as he continues his travels at the moment. She's gone for a 3-2 Newcastle win, which would feed in nicely to our charity bet, which we'll tell you about in a moment. Jerry's going for an away win for Newcastle, 3-1. John has gone for 2-1, as you just mentioned. Kathleen, 2-all. Mick, sticking with Villa. He's not going against his own team or trying to Yerra here. He's gone for a thrilling 3-2 Villa win. Nathan has gone for a 2-all draw. Phil has gone for Villa to win 2-1. Shane, the current leader, has gone for 2-all, and I've gone for 1-all in this game. So that is the way we are thinking at the moment. Now, we've got Lee Phelps with us as well from William Hill to talk about this. Lee, how are you getting on?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Just pleased that last week when I changed your minds on the charity bet, at least the original didn't land. I mean, that's terrible that I'm even saying that, isn't it? Because we just want them to win. I'm not trying to wish that my pick didn't lose.
Don't worry, our picks have been absolutely atrocious. So trying to point us in the right direction is welcome, I think, most week with the way things have gone. Yeah. As you said, this would have been much worse if we'd had a winning bet and you had decided, let's add on an extra little bit to that and try and improve the odds. I would be coming back and blaming you. But unfortunately, our picks have been absolutely horrific. But as we saw with the predictions just early, everyone is kind of going for goals in this game. My 1-all is going a little bit against the grain when we saw those big scores, 3-2s and 2-alls. The charity bet that we want to make for this week is a little bit specific. So we want over 2 goals in that Villa-Newcastle game. And we also want Jacob Murphy, who's in good form, to hit the net as well.
Yeah, in really good form, isn't he? I've been so impressed with him recently. Obviously, you know, scored in that 5-0 win that you were talking about against Palace. An assist against Manchester United. Scored 2 against Leicester. An assist against Brentford. And an assist the game before that as well. I think Liverpool, that was a Liverpool in the final, wasn't it? Mm. So, like, yeah, really been fantastic. I don't mind it at all. I mean, if you go over 2.5 goals, put Jacob Murphy in to score and add in both teams to score, which I think we all think will happen, that's 5-1 on the bet builder. So you need a minimum of 2 selections in your bet builder. So you could just take out the both teams to score. It just comes to a tiny bit below 5-1. But yeah, with your with that added in, you know, you'll get 5-1, plus you'll get, you know, your bet builder winning boost on top of that. You get impact sub as well. So if Murphy doesn't score, but the sub who replaces him comes on and scores, and you still get paid out on that one. So I think it's a nice way in. I mean, you're naturally drawn to Isak, obviously, given what you guys have just said about him. And obviously, he's got a good record against Villa as well, by the way. But obviously, Murphy is a better price. They're away from home. So I think it's a nice bet. I'd stick in the both teams to score as well. You know, it bumps up to 5-1, then you'll get a bit extra on top in terms of the boost. So, yeah, I think it's a decent way in. I saw an interesting bet, one of our price boosts on Newcastle to finish in the top 2. Was 15-2. It's been boosted to 10-1, which is quite a big boost. And people might be thinking, well, top 2, are you sure? Well, if you think, like, Arsenal have gone off the boil since the Champions League, you know, journey really gathered pace, and you'd have to think the focus will be on that because they're not catching Liverpool, obviously. There's 4 points in it at the moment between Newcastle and Arsenal. And if Newcastle carry on this kind of form and Arsenal do drop off, I'm not saying they will catch them, but 10-1 is worth a look, I think.
Yeah, Declan Rice was trying to convince us otherwise last night. He said, it doesn't matter what happened here tonight, we're going to be in top form for the weekend. We want to finish the league out strongly. He was talking about trying to push Liverpool as far as he can. Yeah. The only thing is, Lee, that's what every player is going to say. He's hardly going to turn around and say, we're on the beach at the weekend and PSG is all that matters in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but drew with Brentford, drew with Arsenal. They're the last 2 Premier League results, aren't they? Beat Fulham 2-1 before that, beat Chelsea 0-0. I'm not saying they're going to fall off. I think Arsenal probably will finish second. They're obviously odds on in that match bet between them and Newcastle. But I just think the way things are at the minute, you won't be. If Newcastle win, you know, this weekend and Arsenal don't get a result at Ipswich, seems far-fetched, I know. But, you know, that 10-1 will suddenly look a very good price. But look, Newcastle have to win this game, don't they? And it's by no means a given against Villa. Newcastle are 9-5 to win the 90 minutes. The draw's 12-5 and Villa are 13-10. They have got a bit of a sign over Villa. You look at the recent head-to-heads and they've won and won well against Villa, home and away, scoring 3s and 4s and even 5s against them. So, you know, some teams have a sign over other teams, don't they? And no one really knows why. But if that continues, then, yeah, I think Newcastle, you know, to win at 9-5 is a decent bet on its own. But, you know, as we've said, that the putting in both teams to score seems an obvious one. Newcastle to win and both teams to score is 19-5, which, you know, I think is, again, it's a decent enough price.
Yeah, go on. do you know what we'll do? And either of you can stop me now at this stage. I'm happy enough to throw in both teams to score to bring this up to five then.
Well, I backed Lee last week, so I feel like I should step back from this one since I was incorrect in that.
John, any objections on behalf of the selection committee here?
No, I don't have any objections. I've gone for both teams to score in my predictions. So
all right, Lee, throw it in there as part of the bet as well. Bring it up to 5-1.
5-1, and if it gets boosted, we'll count that in. If it wins, obviously, let's cheer Jacob Murphy on. There's loads of different offers over the weekend. Whether you're a fan of an Acca, you can get online. You can make sure you get log in and opt in. You can get free Acca bets when you bet on an Acca, and the same with Bet Builders over the weekend. So yeah, really really good weekend of football coming up.
Is anything else kind of jump out for you across the weekend then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that time of year. We said it last year, didn't we? Where you're looking at teams who, you know, can they just put that extra bit in? I thought Everton maybe were on the beach. I think they probably proved that they're not quite there yet. Everton at home to Man City is 27-10. So you probably want it up around the 3-1 mark, to be honest. But I think it's about, you know, the draw is 5-2. Wouldn't be at all surprised if Everton draw with Man City in that game. So 5-2, the draw there looks decent. Yeah, that's probably the best I've seen. And the other one is, can Ipswich get anything out of Arsenal after what they've done this week? I think the best you can hope for, again, is a draw, 18-5. It's a bit bigger than the draw normally is. But yeah, I like the bet. I think the Aston Villa-Newcastle game, it's wide open in terms of the betting. Whichever way you go on it, you're going to get some value out of it. And I think I like the bet of the week this week a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you have it in front of you, but it did jump to my mind when you were talking about Villa Newcastle and how important this game is for Champions League qualification. I would imagine at the moment William Hill are pricing Liverpool, Arsenal 100% inside the top five. And then below that, I'm guessing it's probably Newcastle, Man City in the betting. Like, have you got to a point now where we're wondering if Nottingham Forest are actually going to get in there?
Yeah, 8-1 on Newcastle are to finish in the top five, 5-1 on Man City, 2-1 on Nottingham Forest. Then you've got even money for Chelsea, 11-4 for Villa. Again, you know, if they suddenly get a result here, that could change. Then 40s and bigger for Fulham, Bournemouth, and Brighton, which obviously is pretty unlikely as it stands now. It's been a fascinating, you know, end to the season in that respect. I know the title race is done and the relegation pitch is done, but you know that top five race as it is now is really interesting because you've got, you know, I think Forest, I mean, such a great season. You want them to hang on, don't you? But their form seems to be dropping. I think the lack of, you know, the main scorer, Chris Wood, being out has been a big blow to them. They're on 57 points, so 2 ahead of Man City, 3 ahead of Chelsea and Aston Villa. And you look at it, you think maybe Villa, now they've got nothing else to focus on. It could be a good way in for them. You know, it's 11-4. I mean, I don't know why Chelsea should be even money in Aston Villa 11-4 when they're on the same. Admittedly, Chelsea have got a better goal difference, but it's quite a big difference in price. I'd probably trust Villa more than I would Chelsea to get into that fifth spot. But obviously, someone's got to drop out of it first as well.
That's it. I mean, look, Chelsea have been so indifferent as well. We'll see how it goes over the next while. There might be some value for punters, I think, in that market over the next 5-6 games as well. Lee, enjoy the long weekend. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
All right, so Lee Phelps there, edging us towards sticking in both teams to score. We're saying I'm fine with it. I think everyone expects that to happen. Wait and see Newcastle win 4-0 now at the weekend, and we'll be cursing the fact that we added that in. But that is our charity bet, over 2 goals in the Newcastle-Villa game. Jacob Murphy to hit the net, and now both teams to score as well. Who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over the age of 18, and check out gamblingcare.ie for more. Moving on to our second game then of the weekend. We've already chatted about Villa and Newcastle. This is where John's going to come into his own. We've got Spurs against Nottingham Forest. It's the one that we have to wait for Monday at 8 p.m. For this one. Let us see how we are going for this Spurs versus Nottingham Forest game. Our predictions were locked in, I should point out, before the Europa League game tonight. So Colm is going for a draw, 2-2. Emma is the proxy for Owen. She's gone for a Nottingham Forest away win, 1-0. Jared's gone for Forest 1-0 as well. John has stuck with Spurs 2-0. Kathleen has gone for Forest 1-0. Mick has gone for a draw. Nathan has gone for Forest to win 2-1. Phil has gone for Forest to win 2-1. I've gone for a 1-1 draw. And so has Shane. So they are the predictions for this week. John, why are you expecting Spurs to win in a sea of very indifferent form for them?
I think there are two positions Spurs could be in, Will and Kathleen, by the end of the Europa League match against Frankfurt, in that they're into the semi-finals and their confidence is boosted and
they pretty much have a full strength squad, Son aside. And the other position is they could have a caretaker manager if Ange is sacked, because the way he's been speaking the last few weeks, it's almost like he's been sacked already.
Yeah.
It's Ange against the world. And Ryan Mason's always liberating. And look, they still have decent players. They still have a team that's capable of putting four past Aston Villa, Everton and West Ham, which they've done at home this season. That's the rationale for predicting them to win. For Forest, they've lost their last two games and four of their last five games away from home in the Premier League. They've had an incredible season. A lot of people will be tipping them for the drop at the start of the season. And I really hope they hold on to a top five finish. But the way I see Forest playing is that I think they're best in front of a partisan support at the City Ground, where often they can score first and then shut up shop. And Chris Wood has been such a key, as Lee has said, to their form. But he hasn't scored in his last five games. I think away from home, I think the wobble is setting in for Nottingham Forest. A bit like the Who You Got standings. It's getting very tight when it comes to the top contenders to reach the Champions League, even though there's five of them now. And I just feel the pressure's coming on. You could see in the way Mourinho gave the ball away against Everton. And then it was just, oh no, it's going to happen here. And then Doucouré took his chance and they've been knocked out effectively at the City Ground last week. So that's why I'm thinking of being the only person this week with the lily white tinted glasses to predict Spurs win.
Yeah, a few weeks ago when I was doing up my little mini table for the end of the season on the BBC Predictor, I thought that Forest would pick up enough home points. I actually thought they were going to pick up quite a few points at home. And then losing at Everton at home is a blow, because that was one that I had down as almost a banker, despite the fact that David Moyes has made Everton very difficult to play against. You start to wonder. Chris Wood, it's not just his form. He's had an injury, which appears to be taking a while to shake off. And they're so reliant on him for his goals return if they're going to win some of these tight games as well. But Kathleen, I can't trust Spurs. All being said.
Yeah, it is a difficult one. I think my reasoning for still giving Forest a bit of time and a bit of credit is that I think there's been a couple of times this season where we've thought the wobble is about to set in and that things were going to go badly for them. Now, I do feel like maybe this is the one that might shake them a little bit. I think, as you were saying, the Chris Wood situation is absolutely massive for them. If he was still firing on all cylinders and was fine, I think they would have been doing a lot better than they are. Yes, the Everton, you would have said like a couple of weeks ago or even a couple of months ago that Everton result was a banker. But when you look at the sort of form that Everton have been in, you know, the amount of draws they've got in their past couple of games, admittedly, that was one of the first proper wins. Probably should have got something out of that Liverpool game as well. They were relatively lucky, or unlucky, sorry, to lose in that situation. I don't know. It's like Forest have looked good against the big teams a lot this year and have struggled against the teams that you probably would have classed as their sort of ilk last season.
You have just summed up Nuno Espirito Santo's coaching career. He is more than happy to let the other team have 70% of the ball. He will have players who are dynamic on the counter-attack. And then you need a striker who's going to put those chances away. When that's not happening, it becomes more difficult. And I wonder a little bit about Forest hiring now at the moment as well. They've put in a lot of effort to get to this point of the season. They've looked a lot more shaky in recent weeks by comparison to the wonderful gate they put up early on the season and were very difficult to break down. So we shall see. Will Ange still be in place, John, at the weekend? If he loses the Frankfurt game, say, tonight?
Possibly could be gone. Yeah. And that's why I was thinking, well, then they might have a new broom in there. And look, the players, it just doesn't feel... It is really sliding doors with this Europa League that the players will continue to play as well as they can. I mean, they should have beaten Frankfurt in the first leg in this competition, but the Wolves game was a write-off. And it just seems that for the quality of the players, even though I think the midfield is quite poor and quite weak in comparison to Newcastle, Tottenham still have a lot of attacking talent that should be doing a lot better than the team that is probably the worst they've had in the league in 31 years.
Yeah, the route to the Champions League is still true, the Europa League. That is true for Manchester United, who we'll be talking about in a few minutes as well. But let's go to Saturday lunchtime. We've got the Champions League semi-finals getting underway, and we've got Arsenal against Lyon, where actually there's quite a bit of variance when it comes to the predictions that we've made here. So Colm has gone for a 1-1 draw. Emma has gone for Arsenal to win 2-1. Jerry's gone for a draw, 1-1. John has gone for Arsenal to win 1-0, their favourite scoreline. Kathleen has gone for Lyon to win 2-1 and to make it very difficult for Arsenal in this tie. Mick has gone for Lyon 2-1. Nathan is going for Lyon 2-1, which is a very, very popular scoreline. Phil has gone for a draw 2-2. Shane has gone for 2-1 to Arsenal. And And I've given Arsenal every chance in this tie with a 2-0.
Very win. Optimistic about this.
I think it is a little bit. Especially when I looked at everyone else's predictions, I went, maybe I've been a bit saucy. Because I saw the first few coming in and I saw everyone going low scoring.
Yeah.
And I did try and game this a little bit by going, I got something slightly different.
Well, I don't think you're totally wrong in that this game's in the Emirates. You know, it's been built as like a bit of a fortress for the women's team. Like I would say out of all the women's teams that play in the main stadiums, Arsenal have definitely made that their home. Mm-hmm. You would hope there'd be a decent turnout. It's a bit early in the day, to be honest, which is kind of annoying. Like no one wants to watch Champions League football at 12:30 on Saturday.
Suits the good people at TNT Sports. Yeah. They were very much going, this is a slot that works for us. Watch us on Saturday.
I would have given Arsenal a better chance if it wasn't for the injuries that they had at the moment. Like Chloe Kelly, Alessia Russo, and then Van Domslar are all doubts for it. So that's first choice goalie, one of your main scorers. Chloe Kelly has been like a bit of a revelation for Arsenal.
How's she been getting on since the move?
Really well. Right. Really, really well. Slotted into that team. I mean, like she went to the Arsenal Academy, kind of grew up in that environment. So there was an expectation that she probably would be able to slot in quite well to that team and it wouldn't be totally unusual to her. And obviously she'd had such a bad experience at Manchester City with Gareth Taylor and with how things ended there. Now she
comes in heavily motivated, wants to be informed into the summer. In a way, like it was a sign that almost made perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there would definitely be a feeling around like Arsenal fans that we would want to see her stay on to make that loan more permanent. Now, I don't know how that will work because obviously Gareth Taylor's gone. Mm. At Manchester City, Nick Cushing is in there as an interim manager. There's been no word on who's going to come in full time. I just think this Lyon team with those injuries are going to have too much for this Arsenal side. Whenever Schleggers came on board after Adeval left, there definitely was a bit of a new manager bounce, but that's kind of tiring a little bit now. I think this side need to get to the summer and they need to recalibrate and look at how on earth are we going to start competing properly with Chelsea in the league because they're storming their way to...
You might have to break the world transfer record twice to do that.
Yeah,
maybe three times.
Potentially. And not give away players like Vivian Miedema for free as well. Although she's just had another really bad injury and is out for the rest of the season. And also when you look at the attacking power that this Lyon side has, like they're absolutely cruising in the league. They're 8 points off PSG. They have some of the best young and players in the world. Now they defensively have been a little bit shaky the last while. Last weekend against Paris FC, conceded very late to go for a 2-2 draw, but they're also on a 20-game not losing streak. So it's a difficult one. I think it'll be close, but I do think Lyon will just have that little bit of extra power, especially in their attack, to get over. Although I would be quite happy if it was a repeat of 2022 and the 5-1 win for Arsenal.
That would actually be more than happy. I'm guessing the winner's going to come from the other side of the draw, though. That's a stacked semi-final on the other side with Barca and Chelsea.
Yeah, Barca-Chelsea is going to be great. I mean, Chelsea have had this thing over them over the last couple of seasons where they absolutely annihilate the Women's Super League and then they just can't do it when they get to Europe. I remember going on Football Americas on ESPN to talk about the first Chelsea-Barca final and saying, you know, like this Chelsea team, they're incredible. They're definitely going to do it. Barcelona don't really have any competition in the Spanish league. That was the one where they won by like 90 plus points and hadn't lost a game the entire season. I don't think they'd even drawn a game the entire season. And then Barca came out and absolutely smashed them. Now, the difference this year is they have Sonia Bompaster, who is the former Lyon manager, who has won it a couple of times. So does she have the secret sauce that's going to mentally get them over the roadblock?
Stay tuned in over the next few weeks and we'll find out. That should be an absolute cracker. Now, 4:30 off the ball this Sunday, John's going to be in this very seat where we're going to bring you coverage of Wolves against Manchester United in the race for 17th in the Premier League with the form that Wolves have hit at the moment. Let's have a quick look at our predictions that we've made for Wolves-Manchester United then. Colm, he's going to go down with the ship. He always goes for Manchester United, 2-1. By proxy, Emma's pick for Owen is a Wolves win on the road by 2-1. Gerard has gone for Wolves to win by the same scoreline. John has gone for Manchester United to win 2-1. Kathleen has gone for Wolves to nil Manchester United at Old Trafford and to win 2-0. Mick has gone for Wolves 1-0. Nathan has gone for a draw, 0-0. Phil has gone for Wolves 2-1. I've gone for Manchester United to win 2-1. Like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get with this Manchester United team. And, I've gone for Wolves, 2-1. I should say Shane has gone for United to win 2-1. So, John, there's a lot of love for Wolves here. I think I can understand that because of, again, the run they're on. This is their best form, I think, since 1972, I heard the other day. Definitely early 70s.
Yeah, they're unbeaten in five. Jürgen Strand-Larsen's been excellent. He scored a lot of goals. And Vitor Pereira deserves great credit for keeping them up, which he's done. He steadied the ship of Man U. But the job's done now. And the reason I picked Manchester United is I think psychologically the job is done for Wolves. That could have an impact. Once again, a bit like Tottenham, they do have their eggs in the Europa League basket. But if they can come through the test against Lyon, this is a team that has held Arsenal and Manchester City in recent weeks at home. So if they can do that, I think they do have the ability to beat Wolves, and a safe Wolves that might have, not consciously but subconsciously, their trip to Caribbean plant. And that's why I've gone for a United win. Probably just myself subconsciously trying to track Shane Hannon. So if he wins, I win. And if he loses, I lose. And then yourself and Mick will probably go to the top.
That's a good point, particularly with Mick and I both backing Wolves for this game. I don't know. It's the Lyon game comes into this to a certain extent because one way or another, psychologically, either Manchester United are in a very strong position to win the Europa League at 10 o'clock tonight, or they're out and it feels like their season is completely over. Joshua Zirkzee is out for the rest of the season, so he definitely won't be involved. So I'd imagine it's Rasmus Højlund who leads the line for this game against Wolves. I remember how well Wolves played at Old Trafford at the start of last season and probably should have won the penalty that wasn't, which they should have been given. So Man United got out of jail, I think, that day. Wolves gave them a bit of a bossing in the game earlier this season at Molineux as well around Christmas time. I don't know. For me, I kind of fancy Wolves on the road. I kind of fancy that Wolves are going to keep this record going. But Kathleen, I am very much aware, as John has said, that Manchester United still have tons of quality. And if it clicks, they can beat most teams.
Yeah.
They don't usually.
No. It was like, what has it clicked exactly for them? I know, so with the news of losing Zirkzee for the rest of the season, that's not great for them either. Although there is some reports today that he may potentially be back for the last game, so they're not going to be much help to them this week. I just, like, Man United, they're just not convincing to me in any shape or form. And I don't know how many times I've sat on the show over the last couple of weeks with Cullum and Shane and gone back and forth about this United team. And they're just boring to me at this stage. You know, they've hit that, God, I'm going to get so much abuse about this, but they've almost hit that point of irrelevance that when it comes to the Premier League, like, they may go and do something amazing against Lyon tonight, and fair play to them if they do. But when it comes to the Premier League, they've just hit that place that I don't care enough about them anymore. But I also think there is a bit of that about United fans too. I don't think, you know, if you were, they don't seem to be very put up or put down about how this team does anymore, I think.
I think we've got our podcast and YouTube title. Manchester United are irrelevant, or Manchester United have become irrelevance.
Yeah.
They're too big to become
God
relevant.
Help my mentions. No, but I mean it in the context of this season. Like, if you're a Manchester United fan and you're looking at the table and whether they finish 13th or 16th, do you care?
I think Jim Radcliffe cares, a man who will cut free lunches if it's 2 million per position in the Premier League. He wants that 6 million.
Yeah, that's true. I think he cares, but also he hasn't really shown that he cares about the squad as of yet to actually pump any proper money into it, whether it's the men's side or the women's side, to be fair. You know, he can go around and he can cut the free lunches for staff. He can make everyone feel totally distant from their club. So what do you expect from fans, or what do you expect from a team after all that? I don't really know. Maybe he's going to pull out something out of the bag during the summer and I'll be eating my words come the start of the new season. But it just feels like unless they do something tonight, what is there to talk about Manchester United anymore?
I would think that most fans will be hoping that what will be pulled out of the bag would be a star signing. I think what's more likely to come out is restructuring at a board level. I think that's far more likely than making any kind of big signing here. So there you go. That is who you got for this week. That is the live game 4:30 on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. As I say, you never really know what you get with Manchester United. Before we go, let's give Shane Hannon his flowers. We'll stick up the season standings one more time to remind you. There is Shane at the top, 78 points. Mick, myself, 77. John on 76. You've got Owen, who has been helped out by both Steve-O and Emma over the last couple of weeks with their predictions by proxy. He's sitting on 73. Then you've got Phil on 71. Nathan on 70. Kathleen on 66. Work to do, Kathleen, would be my assessment.
Do you remember the levels of abuse I got when I was not invited invited to the first season of Who You Got. And I
remember
came.
Colin Bouygues in here gatekeeping by saying, do not let her in. Do not give her average scores.
And I came in after a week or two. I do believe it was because I was covering a World Cup in Australia, and the abuse I got for the rest of the season because people were coming in and giving average scores for me. And now Owen Shayton's over enjoying himself, sunning himself in Australia.
With much smarter people picking his scores,
exactly.
I would argue. So. You've got Colm then on 64, and then you've got Jared propping up the table on 61. Prepare for Jared to start throwing things like 5-0s across the board or 0-0s for the rest of the season as he tries to use game theory to get back up the table. John, it's been a pleasure.
Will, thank you. Thank you, Kathleen.
Kathleen, thank you as well. We'll see you next week, folks, for Who You Got.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.